You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
To begin today, these two boys, kind of a strange name. I don't think anybody's named their kids Nadab and Abihu. Anyway, Abihu's here today? I don't think so. I've never met an Abihu. But they were raised in such a good home. Aaron was their daddy. Aaron was the brother to Moses. These guys were around the church, they're around the things of God, they're around the Old Testament church, the tabernacle. They knew everything. They knew how to live for God. They knew what was right. They knew the commandments of God. They grew up in a great situation. I think of how many young people in America today are growing up in a great situation. Great home, great mother, great dad, but I'll guarantee it, every person here that's raised children, every person here has heartache. Some have a daughter that's rejected God. Your son loves for God, or your son rejected God. How does that happen? How do you grow up in a Christian school and a Christian church and a youth group and all this, and you make decisions for Christ at youth camp? How is it that you turn away from God, but they're by the scores turning away? We have 70 churches a week shutting their doors. 70 churches in America a week are closing down. I look at a crowd like this, it just thrills me on a time change Sunday and a down Sunday, so many folks on vacation. But I thank God for you that you have a desire for God. The Bible says, and here is Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Look what they did. And here's our message, comes from verse 1. They took either of them, both of them, his censer. Watch this. And they put fire therein. They had no business making fire elsewhere than the tabernacle or the house of God. They said, okay, we're gonna do worship our way. We're gonna do church our way. We don't want to do it God's way. And the Bible says they put fire therein, put incense therein, and offered, here's my message today, strange fire. Strange fire. Strange fire will never work before a holy God. They put strange fire before them, which he commanded them not. Don't do that. You get the fire from the altar where God created it, not from someplace else. Not from out here. Well, Hollywood says this. You know, I don't have the internet, but I do have on my phone enough internet to get some conservative news channels. And so I read the stories. You know, it's about every other day a Hollywood star son or daughter in their 20s or 30s are killing themselves. Something's wrong. It's about twice, two, three times a week, an NFL player, a Major League Baseball player, somebody's killing themselves. We had a couple this week again. A college football player, gonna maybe be the Heisman Trophy, kills himself. We're living in a strange day because we're reaching outside of the church to bring inside the church what we want. We wanna adapt God to our lifestyle. We want an AI God. I'm going to create an AI God.
Yes, sir.
And my AI God is going to be what I want him to be.
Yep.
No, sir. You live for God and let God create in your life what you should be.
Yep.
Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And they went out from the Lord and delivered them. Watch this. And they died before the Lord. God is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think of the false religion of Cain and the right religion of Abel. Cain offered a false sacrifice. He said, I'm going to, the works of my hands, I'm going to offer that to God. God wasn't pleased with that. And Abel offered a lamb that God created. God was blessed with him. Cain got so upset. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill my brother. And he killed him. Chapter 4, Genesis. And God came walking. He said, hey, where's your brother? He goes, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, one lie leads to another lie. And he had to lie his way through. I've spoken, I've been pastoring here 50 years now. I've spoken to so many godly, good Christians that tell the truth, but I've pastored a lot of people that just with a straight face, tears in their eyes, they're lying to you. Oh no, I never did that. Well, they did it. There was strange religion. There was a strange, false, not only false religion, but false movement of God. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Here's the way you move the Ark of the Covenant. You take these staves on four corners and you move it. But they had a different way to do it. They said, my way of doing it, we're going to put it on a cart. And the cart began to, and Uzzah touched the cart. And God said, all right, you're dead. You've got to do things God's way. I think of false teachers. We have false religion. We have false movement. We have false teachers. Matthew 24, in the last days, there'll be false teachers among you. They'll be spreading garbage. They'll be spreading sin. I've got this guy in Texas. He's running for Senate. He just won the Democrat. And he said, okay. He goes, and he's a Bible teacher. He's a pastor. And he's teaching the Bible everywhere he's going, talking about the Bible. But he said, I want you to know that the Bible says there are six genders. Well, buddy, you're an idiot. There are not six genders, male and female. And he takes the word of God and he proves that it's not just male and female. He takes the word of God and he says, I want to tell you something. God is for abortion. No, God is not. And he takes Psalm 139 and he proves that God's for abortion. No, you're wrong, sir. God knew your substance before he ever formed you. He said, okay, I want to prove to you from the Bible that homosexuality is right. No, you're not going to do that. Getting quiet in here now. You cannot have false religion. You cannot have a false movement. You cannot have false teachers. They brought their strange fire. They were mixing religion with their own thoughts. When you begin to mix your religion with your own thoughts, you come up, for example, I'm not against, look, you can believe what you want, but this is not Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God, and our Senate, our House, our offices are being flooded with Catholicism right now. But this is not Bible. There's not a verse in the Bible. There's not a verse in the Bible that says that you do that. By the way, purgatory. If you do pretty good, but not good enough, you won't make it to heaven, but you'll make it to purgatory. One of the largest churches in America says. One of the largest churches in the world says. But there's not a verse in the Bible that says there's a purgatory. Hey, how about the doctrine of indulgence? The doctrines of indulgence said, okay, now we're getting all these people and they're not all saved. And so a doctrine of indulgence out of Rome came and said, okay, it's a credit card. And what it is, it's a credit tier. So if you have enough good compared to the bad, you're going to make it to heaven. But Jesus' word says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. You don't have a credit card. You don't have a credit. I've done good. Well, I did bad over here, but my good outweighs my bad. There's no such thing. Infant baptism that began in 416 AD. Christ had already died for sins, but Catholicism started having all these babies dying. The Black Plague, all those things, and they started having babies. And so they said, okay, in order for your baby to go to heaven, they need to be confirmed or they need to be baptized. Well, the problem with that, that's not Bible. That's not the Word of God. You don't need a baby. A baby is safe in the arms of Jesus until they at least come to a point where they understand. David's little baby died and he was crying and praying, oh God, save my baby. The baby died. He washed himself. He stopped crying. His men came and said, why are you this way? You were weeping when your baby was alive and dying, and now he's dead. He goes, because I cannot bring my baby back, but I can go to my baby. Well, where was David going? In my Father's house are many mansions. He was going to heaven. You know, it's amazing the things that we say, baptismal regeneration. Catholicism says, okay, now you've got to get baptized in order. No, the thief of the cross never got baptized, but God said, today you'll be with me in paradise. We'll baptize this morning. But baptism doesn't have any washing away of the filth of the flesh. Hey, you're mixing your religion is what you're doing. And let's get quiet in here now. I want you to know that worship, idol worship, well, they found out that Jesus was enough, and so they began idol worship. There's thousands of gods. I go back to Catholicism. If you're the Catholicism said, and here I'm quoting what they say, if you're an old maid and you're not married, you're an old maid, you pray to this God. If your big toe hurts on your left foot, you pray to this God. And they make statues. But God's word says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not make no other gods before me, no image. You cannot bow down to them. No, there's one God. But we mix our religion, and they offer strange fire. I think of what we're doing in America today. I don't watch any television programs, but I've heard of this. They're removing the pulpit all across. Hey, in the Bible, they had a pulpit. And the pulpit was the center of the church. And a man of God stood as Ezra's in day, and they read the Bible, and people stood. But we're removing the pulpit. I'll take it back. I did see a guy. And they bring in this he always has a black t-shirt, black pants, and he sits on a high stool. And that's preaching. It's talking about religious things. And they get rid of the pianos, and they bring a drummer in. Getting quiet in here now. And they get rid of the choir. No choir. Yet the Word of God is full of choir. In fact, we'll be a choir in heaven. They get rid of the amens, and yet in heaven we'll say amen, amen. We'll say it twice. That means I agree. I'm with this thing. I'm in this thing. And we say, okay, we're going to get rid of this pulpit. We're going to get rid of, and the churches, they're growing. They're getting rid of the songbook, the hymn book. Getting rid of the notes, getting rid of the words. We're getting rid of the hymns of the faith. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate. We're getting rid of the hymnal. We're getting rid of a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We're getting rid of what we're saying this morning, when morning gilds the sky, when the sky is awakening and it's yellowish and it's reddish and it's red, when the morning gilds the sky, may Jesus Christ be praised. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed. Sing yourselves, the Bible says, psalms, that's biblical words, hymns, that's songs that magnify God, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God. We're doing away with it in our churches. By the way, we're doing away with church. No Sunday school, no Sunday night, no Wednesday night, one and done, you did the thing, it's over. But America was built off the church. It wasn't built off of Washington, D.C. It was built off the church. It was built off the prayer rooms. It was built off of people singing. It was built on preaching the Word of God. You know, we're removing the hymn book, and we're removing the songs and the worship. We're removing over America, we're removing the offering plate. The offering plate is time of worship. Amen. The pianist played that great song this morning. We were worshiping God with our time. And they got a little box out in the back and said, throw your money in there if you want to put your money in there. And they say to me, our tithes are going up. Your tithes are going up, but you're not worshiping God. What's wrong with the old? Give us the old pass. Amen. Strange fire. Strange. We gotta adapt to these teenagers. You know, they're all into cell phones and all that. And so so we got to adapt to them. We got to make a youth group culturally that they will like it. No, we need to preach the word. God has ordained the foolishness of preaching in these last days. His word says, Titus 1:3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. The word preaching is a Greek word, keru, which means to lift your voice and speak with authority. Jesus, the Bible said, he keru'd, he preached. He preached the word of God. Our churches have no resemblance of our history. By the way, history is good. We have a constitution, and we've left the Declaration up because in 188 days, we're going to be 250 years of age. And I'm asking all of our membership to pray for America every day. I had thousands of people raise their hands this past week and said, we'll pray for America every single day from now till the anniversary. But America has a constitution. That constitution will govern our life. But now liberals and conservatives all say, well, that's against the constitution. Yeah. Well, some was right, some was wrong. Yeah. That church in Minnesota was invaded. You cannot, if someone comes in this church, we can't lay hands on them, we can't hurt them, but we can get them arrested immediately if they're disrupting the service. That's law. My college president, he's home with the Lord now. He'd say, whenever you remove the founding principles of any organization, you always announce its doom. I grew up as an independent, fundamental, separated Baptist. We were against everything. We're still against everything. I'm against breathing air. I mean, I feel like it sometimes, but why am I doing that? I'm doing that to try to run a good race. My wife and I have had a good marriage, 53 years. We've had a good marriage. We've had a good ministry, 50 years in this church. It's going to be over one of these days, and the young kids have taken over. And as they've taken over, and I'm in heaven looking down, I want to see that this church stays right. Everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. But it doesn't need to. This church doesn't need to corrupt. I find in our scripture here, three thoughts and I'm done. It'll be very quick. Verse 9, separation. Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. God says, don't drink it. We are having in America a wave of preachers bringing wine into the church and say, okay, let's drink wine now. Wine's acceptable and a little bit of beer is acceptable. It's not acceptable. God says you're going to die. Here we've got in verse number five. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp. You see, they had the garments on. They had the garments on to worship God. They had the garments on. They had it all right, but they just brought strange fire. You may do religious things all you want, but they missed it. And I want you to know that, child of God, there needs to be a separate people. Verse number 10, that you may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. We cannot be too clean for God. We serve a holy God. We cannot be too holy, set apart, reserved for God. So number one, let's remember there is separation. No strange fire. Secondly, you teach your children about it. Verse number 11, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Not only is there separation, but there's your children. And your children need to be taught the word of God. Daddy, how you doing with that? Are you teaching your boys and girls the word of God every night? Are you praying with them as they go to bed at night? We have three children and they're all pastors, all of our boys. And I'm telling you what, we're so proud of our kids, our 14 grandkids and a great grandbaby coming. Pray they name him Jack. That'd be a good name, wouldn't that? Amen. But all of our grandkids read their Bibles every day. Most of them are adults now, got some little ones, but they're mostly all grown up. They read their Bibles every day. They're in church this morning. hey, I want you to know, Daddy, that just didn't happen. I tell my, when my kids are here, and they all say, Dad, don't say that. It wasn't true. But I was never good at family devotions. I was never good at that. I got up every morning and worked to try to have parables in the Bible or miracles in the Bible or Old Testament stories or New Testament. And I worked at it. Or this book of the Bible, we're going to study it. And for about 5 or 8 minutes, we'd study the Bible. We'd sing a song. We'd have prayer. It was only 10 or 15 minutes. Never had it on Wednesday night or Sunday night. We were in church all day. But the other nights, we always prayed together. When they were little, I'd go and Tiffany's room, and she's a pastor's wife in Southern. I'd pray with Tiffany every night. I'd pray with Tabitha. I'd pray with Tim. I can remember sitting down and Tim on his bed and talking about the things of God. I never told our kids they had to go in the ministry. I didn't want them to, and Tim didn't tell me for a few years. He was a sophomore in Bible college, and I heard him preaching one day, and he said, God called me to preach, and he told the experience with our college. I said, I never knew that, son. I never told him he had to be a preacher. He could have been a policeman. I would have been happy with that. He could have been a CIA. I would have been happy with that. But he caught it. He caught it, honey. I had a good wife. I traveled so much, Mondays and Tuesdays, all over the country, preaching the Word of God. They had a good mama that would pray with the kids every night. And she'd let them have fish sticks when I was out of town, because I hate fish sticks. I don't like cats either, but I'm just going to tell you, if you have a cat, how many cat lovers do we have? All right, we won't say anything about cats. You know what happened? They had separation. Don't touch that liquor. And they taught their children, and then God said, I want there to be holiness. 8 times in this text, I've got them all underlined in orange. God didn't want strange fire. God wanted holy fire. God wanted holiness. They had the right, garments on. They had fire, but it was strange fire. And they had religion. Children of God, I've prayed all 50 years. Every time before I preach, in my 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, that's as far as we'll go. But I'd say, Lord, if this is my last day to preach, oh, may I have your touch. Amen. And for 50 years, God's spoken to my heart from his word. Yes. But I'm telling you, friends, you've got to keep this thing right. Amen. You've got to keep it right. God's not interested in strange fire. So what happened? Those people died, and they picked them up with their garments on, their holy garments on, and they went out and buried them. God's not interested in strange fire. What's your strange fire? Well, I'm going to do church this way. I'm going to do the one and done thing. I'm going to do it no Sunday school. I'm going to do it that you can drink liquor. I'm going to do it that you can involve yourself with this sin or this sin and still be spiritual. You're going to have to figure it out, folks. Amen. I'll tell you how to figure it out. Amen. The Bible. Amen. This book will keep you from sin, D.L. Moody said. Our sin will keep you from this book. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, strange fire. Oh, we see a lot of strange fire today. Good people. I think many of these people with the strange fire love you. They love you. But they're not getting their new fire from the right source. They're getting it from compromisers. They're getting it from, really, many times, non-believers. And I pray that you wake us up. Wake us up to righteousness, to holiness, to godliness. I thank you for these people. Lord, help us to stay away from strange fire. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. See, Pastor, I'm flirting with being backslidden. I'm away from God. I'm saved, but I'm away from God. I know I'm away from God. And I want you to include me in closing prayer today. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me. I'm backslidden. I know it. God bless you. Keep them up. Keep them up. God bless you all over the house. Sure. Sure. God bless you. You may put them down. You know, so many hands up. That's because you want to be right with God. I'm so proud of you folks. You that just raised your hand, I'm so honored to be your pastor. Maybe it's strange fire of salvation. You've never been saved by faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You're clinging to a baptism, or your mother told you you're saved, or your good works, or you're clinging to something. But Brother Treber, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't believe I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. Would you slip your hand up all over this house? God bless you. Who else? I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to get saved. Don't offer strange fire to God. Father, speak to our hearts in the invitation before we leave here in just a few moments. Save the unsaved. Restore the backslider. I pray that each man in particular would take inventory of his home. Is he offering strange fire? Are we offering fire that's been built upon the altar? Have the touch of God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.